Joel chapter 2 verse 28 to chapter 3 verse 8. I want to take just another look at this passage. And the point I want to make in this discourse is the note that gets sounded here, the double note that gets sounded here. And I'll call it this, mercy and judgment. These two run together here, God having mercy and God showing judgment, God showing grace, God showing wrath. Remember, this is a prophecy of the days of the new covenant. This is a prophecy of the age of the Spirit. I've tried to establish that. So that in the age of the gospel, in the age of the Spirit, in the days of the new covenant, this very day now we are talking, this very day in which we're living, this is a day of mercy and judgment. God's mercy, God's judgment. You see it here, verse 28 of chapter 2 of Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all people, and so on and so on. And then in verse 32, there will be deliverance. In chapter 3, verse 1, restoring the fortunes. Now, this is speaking of times of mercy and blessing, the bestowal of the Spirit, the times of redemption, the times of hope and glory and salvation, forgiveness and mercy. This is being predicted here in these verses, but equally strongly, with the same force and power. Chapter 3, verse 2, I will gather all nations, I will bring them into judgment. I will, is a day of judgment. Chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord has spoken, the solemn word of God. So, a day of mercy, a day of judgment, an age of mercy, an age of judgment. The preaching of the gospel, the age of the Spirit, brings these two things. Well, this is written large across the New Testament. If I'm right, it should be, but it is written large. Take Romans 9, verses 22 to 24. Take Romans 11, verse 22. What do you see in those passages? I take in those passages, but look at the whole context. It's a day of mercy and kindness. It's a day of sternness and wrath. Romans 9, 22 to 24, mercy and kindness, judgment, sternness, and wrath. You get it in 11, 22. This is the age of the Spirit. This is the age of the gospel. This is the time when Christ has fulfilled the old covenant and established the new. This is the day of the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ. And it's a day of salvation and judgment, of mercy and wrath. It's a separating day. It's a distinguishing day. And it's all centered on the gospel, above all, supremely, centered upon Christ. Now, do we find that in the New Testament? Well, how about 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 to 10? People find that there is a rock, and it's a rock upon which they build, and are established, are set firm, have hope and confidence, and are secure in all the storms and tides of life. But there is also a rock, that same rock, over which men fall and stumble. And indeed, that rock tumbles upon them and falls upon them and crushes them. 1 Peter 2, 7 to 10. That rock is Christ. Men are either building upon Christ or being crushed by him. Men are either resting their souls upon Christ, or else they're stumbling over him, tripping over him. It's this double aspect. You get it in 1 Peter 3, verse 12. There's the righteous, and there's the evil. You get it in 2 Peter 2, and so on. You get it in Joel, you get it in Peter, you get it in Romans. You get it throughout the Bible. Especially though in the days of the gospel, in the age of the Spirit, centering upon Christ, this is the great divide. Now, I'm talking, as it were, in the third person, in the abstract. My friend, it's true for me, and it's true for you. You are either building upon Christ, or Christ will crush you. It's the day of mercy if you will receive Christ. It's the day of wrath if you will reject him. What do you mean? Well, John 3, 2 Thessalonians 3. If you refuse to love the truth, if you refuse to believe Christ, the wrath of God abides upon you. But if you receive and trust and rely upon the Lord Jesus, this is the day of mercy. You shall not perish, but you will have everlasting life. I'm quoting from John 3. I'm quoting from 2 Thessalonians 3, and so on and so on. It goes on and on. It's Christ is the great issue. Christ is either your Savior, or he will be the one who will judge you forever. It's what you make of Christ. You're either resting on him or you'll be crushed by him. It's what you make of Christ. I preach Christ to you now. Will you receive him? Will you trust him? Or will you refuse him and reject him? These are cardinal matters. This is the great matter. This is the great issue. What think ye of Christ? I warn you, in the Old Covenant, the law separated Israel from the nations. In the New Covenant, Christ separates believers from unbelievers. It doesn't matter whether a man is Islamic, a Jehovah's Witness, or whatever he is, an evolutionist or a skeptic or whatever he might be, a Buddhist, whatever. He's either in Christ or he's not. It's Christ is all or nothing. Which is it for you? John Newton saw this very clearly, and he wrote a very powerful hymn upon it. I believe I've quoted it in past days to you, but I'm going to quote it again now to you. It is the great question. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most. Sure, these have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I dare not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I was sure he is God. Now in the last verse, which I'm now going to read, Newton gives his own view, his own persuasion. And my friend, it is mine. Is it yours? Make it yours. I plead with you. Take these words and use them for yourself. It's not just a mind thing, it's the heart. May these words be true for you. If asked what of Jesus I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor, I say, he's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my saviour from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. Oh, it is my prayer that you will, all of you, say this, feel this, know this, enjoy this of the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be your portion, your Lord, your all, your Savior, indeed, all in all, to you.